Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
Ah, yes, watch that glorious banner go. Shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. The show is word for word. I'm Pastor Steve. This show is for the 19th of January 2018. We are in the book of Jasher. That's not a man's name. That's a description. The book of the upright. Sefer HaYashar. Okay. Yashar means upright. And yeah, had a morning frog again. We're in chapter 29. We will be starting at verse 17. But I want to give you my website information before we get into this. It is https://www.pastor.com/ pastor-steve.com. All my shows are there. Wake Up Call, Word for Word. There's a lot of two seed line links. All kinds of stuff. It's not an interactive site. You don't get to post comments or troll. Because I don't have the time to babysit. If you want to listen or you want to download, that's fine. But other than that, that's it. Saves me a lot of trouble. Pardon me, that frog is bothering me this morning. Let's get into verse 17 of chapter 29 of the book of Jasher. And in those days, Adah, the wife of Esau, conceived and bare him a son. And Esau called the name of the son that was born unto him Eliphaz. And Esau was 65 years old when she bare him. Verse 18. And Ishmael, the son of Abraham, died in those days in the 64th year of the life of Jacob. And all the days that Ishmael lived were 137 years, and he died. Verse 19. And when Yitzchak heard that Ishmael was dead, he mourned for him, and Yitzchak lamented over him many days. Verse 20. And at the end of 14 years of Jacob's residing in the house of Eber, Jacob desired to see his father and mother, and Jacob came to the house of his father and mother to Hebron, and Esau had in those days forgotten what Jacob had done to him, and having taken the blessing from him in those days. Verse 21. And when Esau saw Jacob coming to his father and mother, he remembered what Jacob had done to him, and he was greatly incensed against him, and he sought to slay him. There's your boy Esau of the Edomites. Bad seed. Verse 22. And Yitzchak, the son of Abraham, was old and advanced in days, and Esau said, Now my father's time is drawing nigh that he must die, and when he shall die, I will slay my brother Yaakov. Verse 23, evidently he was bragging out of school, and it got around. Verse 23, and this was told to Rebekah, and she hastened and sent and called for Yaakov, her son, and she said unto him, Arise, go and flee to Haran, to my brother Laban, and remain there for some time until your brothers anger be turned from thee, and then shall you come back. Okay. Here is an important verse 24. And Yitzchak called unto Yaakov and said unto him, Take not a wife from the daughters of Canaan. For thus did our father Abraham command us according to the word of Yahweh, which he had commanded him, saying, Unto your seed will I give this land, if your children keep my covenant that I have made with you, then will I also perform to your children that which I have spoken unto you, and I will not forsake them. No plainer can it get than that. Verse 25. Now, therefore, my son, hearken to my voice, to all that I shall command you, and refrain from taking a wife from amongst the daughters of Canaan. They were cursed seed. Arise, go to Haran, to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father, and take unto you a wife from there, from the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. Verse 26. Therefore take heed, lest you should forget Yahweh your Elohim and all his ways in the land to which you go, and should get connected with the people of the land and pursue vanity and forsake Yahweh your God, your Elohim, okay? Vanity is the worthless worship of wooden stone idols. In other words, don't get caught up in that. That's worthlessness. Vanity, okay? Verse 27. But when you come to the land, serve there Yahweh. Do not turn to the right or the left from the way which I commanded you and which you did learn. Because he had been at Eber's house learning all about Yahweh and the commandments and how he works and everything. Verse 28. And may the Almighty Elohim grant you favor of the people of the land, that you may take there a wife according to your choice, one who is good and upright in the ways of Yahweh. In other words, one of the chosen seed line that's a Yahweh worshiper. Don't get unequally yoked. That's what she's telling him right there. And may Yah give unto you and your seed the blessing of your father Abraham, and make you fruitful, and multiply you, and may you become a multitude of people in the land where you go. And may Yah cause thee to return to this land, the land of your father's dwelling, with children, and with great riches, with joy, and with pleasure. Mm-hmm. Verse 30. And Yitzchak finished commanding Yaakov and blessing him, and he gave him many gifts together with silver and gold, and he sent him away. And Yaakov hearkened to his father and mother. He kissed them and arose and went to Padan Aram. And Yaakov was 77 years old when he went out from the land of Canaan, from Be'er Sheba. And when Yaakov went away to go to Haran, Esau called unto his son Eliphaz, and secretly spoke to him, saying, now this is how dirty this guy was. Now hasten, take your sword in your hand and pursue Yaakov, and pass before him in the road and lurk for him, and slay him with your sword in one of the mountains, and take all belonging to him, and come back. Well, that was Esau's plan. Uh-huh. Not Yahweh's. The last of my little bite of banana. Hey, I don't eat very much. I have trouble with weight and blood sugar and all that stuff. I've really had to cut back just on food. Anything I eat just goes boom. I've got all kinds of energy. I just go like crazy. But I just can't, and I'm not losing a lot of weight. It's all down to muscle. I'm about close to 230 again, because I work out. And it's hard. I get mighty hungry. Mighty hungry. I'm drinking tea this morning. Now let's get back to this. 32. And Eliphaz, the son of Esau, was an active man, an expert with the bow, as his father had taught him. And he was a noted hunter in the field and a valiant man. In other words, he was a young warrior. Okay. Verse 33. And Eliphaz did as his father had commanded him. And Eliphaz was at that time 13 years old. They were men at 13. That was his manhood right there. And Eliphaz rose up and went and took 10 of his mother's brothers with him and pursued Yaakov. In other words, he took a crew with him. Verse 34. And he closely followed Yaakov, and he lurked for him in the border of the land of Canaan, opposite to the city of Shechem. Verse 35, and Yaakov saw Eliphaz and his men pursuing him. And Jacob stood still in the place in which he was going in order to know what this was, for he did not know the thing. And Eliphaz drew his sword, and he went on advancing, he and his men, toward Jacob. And Jacob said unto them, "What is with you that you have come here, and what that you pursue me with your swords?" Why are you following me, especially with these swords? What's going on here? Verse 36. And Eliphaz came near to Jacob, and he answered and said unto him, "Thus did my father command me, and now therefore I will not deviate from the orders which my father gave me." In other words, this young warrior was going to kill him. And when Jacob saw that Esau had spoken to Eliphaz to employ force, Jacob then approached and supplicated Eliphaz and his men, saying, "Behold, all that I have in which my father and mother gave to me, that take to you and go from me. Do not slay me. And may this thing be accounted unto you a righteousness." In other words, if you don't obey your father and you don't murder me, it will be a righteous act. Well, Yahweh comes into play here. Verse 38. And Yahweh caused Jacob to find favor in the sight of Eliphaz, the son of Esau, and his men, and they hearkened to the voice of Jacob, and they did not put him to death. And Eliphaz and his men took all belonging to Jacob, together with the silver and gold that he had brought with him from Beersheba. They left him nothing. There's your Edomites. Verse 39. And Eliphaz and his men went away from him, and they returned to Esau, to Beersheba, and they told him all that had occurred to them with Jacob, and they gave him all that they had taken from Jacob. Well, that wasn't going to fly. Verse 40. And Esau was indignant at Eliphaz his son and at his men that were with him, because they had not put Jacob to death. He wanted Jacob murdered. Verse 41. And they answered and said to Esau, "Because Jacob supplicated us in this matter not to slay him, our pity was excited toward him, and we took all belonging to him and brought it." And it says, "unto thee" in italics. And it took all belonging to him and brought it. And Esau took all the silver and gold which Eliphaz had taken from Jacob, and he put them by in his house. Whew. Verse 42. At that time, when Esau saw that Yitzchak had blessed Jacob and had commanded him, saying, "You shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan," and that the daughters of Canaan were bad in the sight of Yitzchak and Rebekah. Now you can reference Genesis 28, verses 6, 7, and 8 on these verses. Then he went to the house of Ishmael, his uncle, and in addition to his wives, other wives, because they put it in italics again, he took Mahlath, the daughter of Ishmael, the sister of Nebaioth, for a wife. And that ends chapter 29. Now we're going to be getting into 30. And this is a short chapter compared to the others. I don't know how far we'll get into 31, but we'll touch on it. Let me get a little drink of tea here. All right, verse 1 of chapter 30 of Sefer HaYashar. And Yaakov went forth continuing his road to Haran. And he came as far as Mount Moriah. And he tarried there all night near the city of Luz. And Yahweh appeared there unto Yaakov on that night, and he said to him, I am Yahweh, Elohim of Abraham and the Elohim of Yitzchak, your father. The land upon which you lie I will give unto you and your seed line. You can reference Genesis 28, verse 13 on that. Continuing on, verse 2. And behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go. And I will multiply your seed as the stars of the sky. And I will cause all your enemies to fall before you, and when they shall make war with you, they shall not prevail over you. And I will bring you again unto this land with joy, with children, and with great riches. Ooh. That's something. Verse 3, and Yaakov awoke from his sleep, and he rejoiced greatly at the vision which he had seen, and he called the name of that place Beth-El, that's the house of El, or the house of God, okay? And he had built a pillar there, but that's not in this, that's in Genesis. Verse 4, and Yaakov rose up from that place, rejoiced, and when he walked, his feet felt light to him for joy. And he went from there to the land of the children of the east, and he returned to Haran, and he sat by the shepherd's well. And there he found some men going from Haran to feed their flocks. And Yaakov made inquiries of them, and they said, we are from Haran. Okay. Local boys. Yeah. Verse 6, and he said to them, do you know Laban, the son of Nahor? And they said, we know him. And behold, his daughter Rachel is coming along to feed her father's flock. Now, they pronounce that in English, Rachel, but it's Rachel. While he was yet speaking with them, Rachel, the daughter of Laban, came to feed her father's sheep, for she was a shepherdess. Verse 8, and when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, he ran and kissed her and lifted up his voice and wept. And you can reference Genesis chapter 29, verse 11 on that. Verse 9. And Jacob told Rachel that he was the son of Rebekah, her father's sister. And Rachel ran and told her father, and Jacob continued to cry because he had nothing with him to bring to the house of Laban. Okay, now that's because Eliphaz had robbed him. They took everything he had. He was going to be bringing gifts when he got there, and he couldn't give them any gifts because he got ripped off. Verse 10. And when Laban heard that his sister's son, Jacob, had come, he ran and kissed him and embraced him and brought him into the house and gave him bread and he ate. Verse 11. And Jacob related to Laban what his brother Esau had done to him, and what his son Eliphaz had done to him in the road. Like a road agent, he'd stick them up. Oh, those Edomites. Oh, yes. Raspberry tea. Verse 12, and Jacob resided in Laban's house for 1 month. And Jacob ate and drank in the house of Laban, and afterward Laban said unto Jacob, tell me what shall be your wages, for how can you serve me for nothing? Verse 13, and Laban had no sons, but daughters, and his other wives and handmaids were still barren in those days, and these are the names of Laban's daughters which his wife Adinah had borne unto him. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. And Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored, and Jacob loved her. Now, this tender-eyed business, it's an old idiom, and it has the connotation of being weak in appearance. But that's the best I can do with it, actually. It's a subtle... In other words, she wasn't ugly, but she was no raving beauty like Rachel. Poor Leah. Verse 14, and Jacob said unto Laban, I will serve you 7 years for Rachel, your younger daughter. He was really specific about that. And Laban consented to this, and Jacob served Laban 7 years for his daughter Rachel. Verse 15. And in the second year of Jacob's dwelling in Haran, that is in the 79th year of the life of Jacob, in that year died Eber, the son of Shem. He was 464 years old at his death. Verse 16, and when Jacob heard that Eber was dead, he grieved exceedingly, and he lamented and mourned over him many days. Stop here, because you remember he went to their house and was given instruction. Eber was his teacher. Okay? Shem and Eber taught the ways of Yahweh to Jacob. So he loved the man. He was very dear to him. And he was very upset that he passed. Verse 17. And in the third year of Jacob's dwelling in Haran, Bozmath, the daughter of Ishmael, the wife of Esau, bore unto him a son. And Esau called his name Reuel. Verse 18. And in the fourth year of Jacob's residence in the house of Laban, Yahweh visited Laban and remembered him on account of Jacob. And sons were born unto him, and his firstborn was Beor. His second was Alib, and the third was Korosh. Verse 19, and Yahweh gave Laban riches and honor, sons and daughters, and the man increased greatly on account of Jacob. Verse 20. And Jacob in those days served Laban. In all manner of work. In the house and in the field. And in the blessings of Yahweh. Was in all that belonged to Laban. In the house and in the field. Because Jacob, the chosen one, was going to do the work. Verse 21, and in the fifth year died Yehudith, the daughter of Beeri, the wife of Esau, in the land of Canaan, and she had no sons but daughters only. Verse 22, and these are the names of her daughters which she bare to Esau. The name of the elder was Marzith, and the name of the younger was Puith. Verse 23, and when Yehudith died, Esau rose up and went to Seir to hunt in the field as usual. And Esau dwelt in the land of Seir a long time. Verse 24, and in the sixth year, Esau took for a wife, in addition to his other wives, it has Aholibamah, the daughter of Zebeon, the Hewi, that's Hivite, okay, the Hewi, and Esau brought her to the land of Canaan. Well, she was a Canaanite. And Aholibamah conceived and bare under Esau three sons, Yeush, Ya'alan, and Korach. Verse 26, and in those days in the land of Canaan, there was a quarrel between the herdsmen of Esau and the herdsmen of the inhabitants of the land of Canaan. For Esau's cattle and goods were too abundant for him to remain in the land of Canaan in his father's house, and the land of Canaan could not bear him on account of his cattle. In other words, they were really prolific and they were eating up all the graves and they just couldn't handle it. Verse 27. And when Esau saw that his quarreling increased with the inhabitants of the land of Canaan, he rose up and took his wives and his sons and his daughters and all belonging to him, and the cattle which he possessed, and all his property that he had acquired in the land of Canaan. And he went away from the inhabitants of the land to the land of Seir. And Esau and all belonging to him dwelt in the land of Seir. Verse 28. But from time to time Esau would go and see his father and mother in the land of Canaan, and Esau intermarried with the Hori, the Horites, and he gave his daughters to the sons of Seir, the Hori, the Horite, okay? And he gave his elder daughter, Marzith, to Anah, the son of Zebeon, his wife's brother, and Puith he gave to Azar, the son of Bilhan, the Hori, Horite. Okay. And Esau dwelled in the mountains, he and his children, and they were fruitful and multiplied. And that ends Chapter 30, okay, it gives you a background of the breeding in that time when they were all intermarrying and doing all of that business, creating all those little Edomites that would so cheerfully follow real Israel down through the centuries. Well, we've got about 20 minutes. I can get into chapter 31, but it's 77 verses, and I'll have to stop in the middle of it, which I really don't like to do. I'll be real honest with you. I'd rather make comments on 29 and 30. Because there's more that I want to expend in these chapters. We are seeing the devious nature of Esau and the abiding hatred he had. And he had forgotten all about that incident, and then when his brother came around, it flared up again. He just couldn't let it go, and he went so far as to create a plot where his son and a bunch of his henchmen would go out and murder his own brother. So he sent Eliphaz and a bunch of thugs out after Yaakov, but Yahweh intervened, and he had Eliphaz and the others listened to him, and they were content just to rob him. Well, that angered Esau, because his son didn't obey him. He wanted murder to be done. Such is his nature. He was evil seed, evidently, from the get-go. Just not good. And it seems to have proliferated and trickled down. And with the admixture of his seed line among all those Canaanites, the Edomites were always enemies of Israel, and they are today. They went off on a tangent. They're mixed blood. They are not pure seed line anymore. They mixed and took in the cursed seed, and they married in with others that were of satanic seed line, the seed line of Cain, the son of the wicked one, mixed in with all these people. So the Edomites turned into a virtual monster. And they migrated up and didn't keep the name of the Edomites. They changed names, and they filtered all the way up and got in with the Khazars. And the Khazars have no connection to the Holy Land at all. They're complete imposters when they say, oh, we're Israel. We're of Abraham. No, they're not. The Sephardim, which is a small percentage, they have some ties, but their seed line connection to Israel has been broken for a long time. So they are not qualified either. Yahweh has been very, very clear that any admixture of any foreign or alien, if you choose, blood, negates the bloodline of Israel. So if there's a mixture, they are no longer Israelites. They may be related, but they're not Israel. Doesn't matter who it is. And that is why we teach what's in the scripture, that pure-blooded Israel has to be pure-blooded. This does not set well with the Judeo-Christian churches, because they want to be inclusive for that collection plate. They cannot go by the scripture because it's not profitable. And they are a business, and they must make money. So it's all down to money with them. We in Israel, true Israel today, are few and far between. We are a remnant. And we're not in this for money. Oh, boy, do we ever know that at EFR. Shekels are few and far between, but it's all about the work, and it's about the word, and it's about spreading the word, and it's all about gathering the remnant rather than money. We get a few donations every once in a while, but you don't hear us hammering every show. Send me money. I don't ask for money. I live on Social Insecurity, and I'm doing just fine. Yahweh is providing for me, and He has blessed me, because my only interest is the Word. The Word. That's it. We don't have time for anything else. All this other news stories and all this other stuff is all that's well and good. There are people that cover that. I don't particularly. That is not my calling. I feel it is more important for me, with my knowledge that Yahweh has imparted to me, that I spread this knowledge and try to get more of the remnant to come in. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. So the people listen. They'll listen for a while and then turn me off and not listen for a little bit and then get curious and turn me back on. It's not about me. You see, I don't expect to develop a great following. You don't follow me, you follow Yeshua Messiah. I just read the scripture, and I provide some insight as to details, and I let Yahweh's word do its work, because the word is what is important. Not my personality or whether I've got some catchy little sayings or any of that. That's Hollywood, and I'm not interested in that. I try to tell it like it is and hope that the fence sitters will get off the fence on the side of Yahweh, because they are my brothers and sisters, and I want them to join us. Not to get money out of them. I don't chase after money. I just don't. It's not in me. I just don't care, you know. You want to support, that's fine, whatever. I'm going to be on here regardless. Doesn't matter. Yahweh has provided for me to do this. I'm looking around here in the middle of January of 2018, and I'm watching with horror all the murders and shootings and brutalization of our people. And Talmudists can talk about their Holocaust all they want, but they've done to us what Esau was going to do to Jacob. They have laid in wait for us and ambushed us and robbed us and killed us. They want to eliminate the true Israelites. Well, again, Yahweh has intervened and they haven't been able to do it. And Yahweh is calling those who He will call. Now, I can plant a seed with the word, but He's going to do the drawing. I don't presume to take that on myself. I got these people saved. That's a lie. I can't save anybody. I can't save myself. Yeshua HaMashiach does the redeeming. But you got a lot of these preachers out here today that are making the claim. They're lifting themselves up. They're bragging on their own prowess. And Satan's going right along with them. He's giving them big churches and lots of money, and they're on TV. And that's their only reward. Feeding their ego. That's their reward. They have their reward now from him. But our rewards are eternal rewards. They're not going to be disposed of like hay and stubble, like the earthly rewards that they're getting in the other camp. We're laying up treasures that are eternal treasures. Treasures in heaven. As far as preachers, I don't know any honest preachers that have any money. I don't. Oh, they get by, do some stuff. But as far as the megabucks and the big church and Cadillac car and fancy suits, nah, you're not going to get any of that preaching the real gospel. Just not going to happen. Can't serve Yahweh and mammon being money. Can't do it. So we're getting down to tough times here all across the world, not just in America. We've got problems in Sweden, problems in England, problems in Germany, problems in France. This immigrant thing, well, it's hitting here in the United States. And we see all the problems with foreign cultures trying to dominate over the white culture. It's not working. It was never intended to work. We are supposed to come out from among them and be separate. And that's what I try to teach. The Word says for us to do that. But people being people, they're going to do what they're going to do. And if one or two trickle in, that's a great victory. That's one or two that'll be with us in the kingdom. And the others, by their choice, are excluding themselves. That you tell them the truth, and if they don't want to hear it, doesn't make me happy. I'm not joyful about it. But I have done what I'm called to do, and if they reject that word, that is the choice they make. Yahweh doesn't want puppets. He wants willing children to love him and serve him. And that's it. He's not going to save all of Israel. Because a lot of Israel is still in apostasy and just won't listen. That is the characteristic of our people. I did a show on stiff-necked Israel, and boy, it's true. Well, I hope you got something out of today's reading. I'll be back on Monday. And we'll get into chapter 31 on Monday, because it's a huge chapter and it's got a lot of stuff in it, and I didn't want to break right in the middle of it. It would do a disservice to the Word. So I've held forth here for a few minutes. May Yahweh bless and keep you. I gave you my website earlier. You can go to www.sacred-texts.com and you can get the Book of Jasher. You can read along. Read along with me. Oh, I love you, brothers and sisters, and you have a good weekend. May Yahweh bless and keep you. I'll see you a little bit later.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe.